Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are up to the last parsha in Sefer Bereshit. That's right, it is Parshat Vayechi. It may be a relatively short parsha, but there is a lot packed into it. And there's a lot of blessings, too. A couple curses, but primarily a lot of blessings from Yaakov to Yosef's sons, Menashe and Ephraim, and of course to the other Shvatim as well. But let's focus on that first part. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about. We can talk about Hamal HaGoel. We could talk about why Menashe and Ephraim were switched, but let's talk about something related to knees. What do I mean by that? Well, when Yosef is preparing his two sons to be blessed by Yaakov, a strange episode occurs. In Perek Memchet Pasuk Yudbet, it states, Vayotze Yosef Me'im Berchav, Vishtachlu L'Arpav Artsa. And Yosef took them off his knees, and he bowed them before him towards the ground. But first of all, the Pasuk should say that Yosef took them Me'al Berchav, which means from upon his knees, rather than Me'im Berkav, from within his knees, because that's kind of a strange language to use. And then, secondly, Menashe and Ephraim were grown men, likely at least in their 20s, so why were they on Yosef's knees? I mean, like, we think of, like, you know, like a young child on their father's knees, but, you know, these are grown men. So the answer to both of these questions is actually one and the same. When the Torah states that Yosef took him off his knees, it doesn't mean literally, which is why it doesn't say Me'al Berkav from upon his knees, but rather Me'im Berkav. What does it mean? The symbolism of sitting upon a father's knees or lap indicates a full dependence upon the parent. Now, Menashe and Ephraim were loyal to their father, and they were truly a part of him. And therefore, they were an extension of him, and they were super close, right? That's all they had known. He was their only connection to Yiddishkeit and their familiar connections until Yaakov and the other brothers came down. That's all Menashe and Ephraim had was their father. But now had come for their time to be independent, to become independent. They were no longer to, in a sense, be Yosef's, but be independent tribes within their full merits, within their own identities. Ones who would join the ranks of even Yosef's brothers, their uncles, as the primary makers of the Jewish nation. They would become full tribes in their own right. Now, Menashe and Ephraim were removed from the midst of Yosef, not from upon him. They weren't upon Yosef. They weren't upon his knees. They were from his midst. They intrinsically came from Yosef since they were his sons, but would now forge separate paths. Upon stating that his two sons were removed from his knees, the Torah writes that Yosef prostrated himself to the ground, which implies that he was thanking or bowing. His knees, and therefore, were now free. What does that mean? As mentioned before, the word berech, meaning knee, contains the same letter as barach, or bracha. And it's for many, many reasons, but one reason is that the knees allow one to bow. And bowing is the highest form of acknowledging blessings. Now, yes, there's many different words for bowing. We're not going to get into that right now. But in a sense, Yosef's bracha was twice that of his brothers because he actually wound up receiving the double inheritance, that he wound up having two brach, right, two knees, right, which is also two brachas. So berech and bracha are the same. So his two knees are two brachos, right? The two knees are symbolic of the two brachos that he had. He had one bracha in Menashe and one bracha in Yosef, right? He had that double portion that was taken away from Reuven. So spoiler alert for to some extent, we're going to talk about my written dvar this week. So now his birkayim, his brachas, were about to become brachas in their own right. They're about to, you know, go forth and receive their own intrinsic blessings from Yaakov, their grandfather. Now, that would actually, interestingly enough, make the total tribal count 13. Yet, in virtually every counting that we ever see, the tribes are regarded as 12. And this is also something that I've spoken about or written about before. So when they are both included, meaning when Menashe and Ephraim are both included, then Levi is not included, or is included kind of scattered amongst all of Klal Yisrael. Or if Menashe and Ephraim are included together as one unit, such as Yosef, then Levi is included. But technically speaking, there were 13 tribes. You had the 12 brothers, and then Yosef was split into Menashe and Ephraim. So in a sense, there really was 13. Now, we teach it as 12, and again, it's part of a much bigger drasha with the concept of Echad and Aleph Echad. Echad, we know, is the gematria of 13, and we have that Aleph put in front of the Chad, that when you have a unity amongst the 12 brothers, which we now had in Parshat Vayechi, and we had this amazing unity, we now had Achdus, and for a momentary period of time, we were actually able to have 13. Later on, we get into the concept of that it wound up becoming truly 12, and that's part of a much, much larger discussion. But we had it that although each tribe was distinct in its own right with its own characteristics, they were still all part of one people, and they realized this, and they banded together to form the pinnacle of unity, to form the pinnacle of Achdus. Now, what's interesting is Chazal teach that the word bracha, or berech, the shoresh, bet, resh, chaf, is 222, or 222, which connotes double, double, and double, right? There's an extra blessing, right? Every one is doubled and becomes a two, right? So there's, in a sense, a double portion of everything. So basically, so when you have a bracha, you actually have three things, in a sense, that are multiplied. You have the things that you give, things that you receive, and the general effect on the world at large. So in other words, one double is what you're receiving. By receiving double, it also enables you to give double, because you have more bracha to give. And then double can double your influence on the world around you, right? So this is part of the mission of Klal Yisrael, and this is something that was instilled through all of the progeny of Yaakov, through all of the Shvatim. But we see that even when you're in the midst of Galus, even when you grow up in Galus, in a place as wicked and corrupt as Mitzrayim, Menashe and Ephraim were able to thrive, and they were able to merit these blessings, which shows us, as I heard recently in the Shir, it shows us that no matter where you are, obviously you want to try and live it, you know, in a Kaddish environment, but wherever you find yourself, whatever you have to go through, wherever you have to be with, you have the ability to rise up and be a Menashe and Ephraim. And that's actually why we focus on, you know, those two as part of our Bracha and Hamal Chagoa. We bench people to be like Menashe and Ephraim, to have that fortitude that even when you're in Galus, even when you're in unfortunate circumstances and potentially circumstances which are not do not lend themselves to Kedusha, that you are able to strive and bring yourself forward and get off your knees and become independent and thrive and forge your own path, but also be acknowledging of the bracha of Hashem and be able to turn that back to others and to lead and create a bracha in the world as part of the legacy that you leave behind. So I want to leave you all with that blessing as we wrap up Vayechi, which is the first Sefer, going into the second Sefer, right? So Shemot is not a doubling, of course, of Bereishit, but we are going to take those lessons from Bereishit into Shemot and use those as a lessons, and then hopefully we'll be zocha to only have bracha, and that we can both receive and give that bracha, and hopefully along with it, this type of achdus that we're seeing right now. Unfortunately, it was prompted by very, very bad circumstances, but we see some miraculous and amazing achdus right now. We want it to continue and get even stronger, so we ultimately have a super achdus that merits us to be as coming of Mashiach. So may we see that truly in our lifetimes. Amen. Shabbat shalom to everybody.